For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit TFormers.com. You're watching Radio Free Cybertron with your hosts, Brian Kilby, J.D. Church, Rob Springer, John DeLuna, Lady Wreck, Bweebum, featuring XV.
Yeah, this is Radio Free Cybertron, and I am your host, Brian Kilby. And we are not featuring XV this week. XV is on hiatus. He is not like
on hunger strike
with the and not featuring
hunger XV. Strike. That's XV.
For featuring
hunger
not strike. XV.
So my internet actually works this week, so I'm back. So hey, thank you to JD for hosting last week. So
cheers.
And actually, this week the official XV alternate, Rob Clay, is back.
Oh,
hey Rob.
It's like an alternate universe, friendlier, nicer version of XV.
Less bitter.
Bizarre.
But a man who is actually more bitter than XV, we have Ender back this week, too.
Yes,
hey, Ender.
Yes, and I hate the Transformers capons.
And JD is smoking his electronic cigarette.
Oh, sorry, I forgot about that. Not supposed to be doing that on the show.
FCC.
Never mind. I'm sorry. I pulled a cane there. I'm sorry. That's
If he wants to embarrass himself on the internet, why not?
Yeah, exactly. So,
come on.
Business of mine.
Both.
We also have
me the trouble of making fun of him.
Yes, we also have Peter Van and Lady Wreck back this week. So
yay!
The very leopardy sort of scarf.
I like that scarf.
Thank you. Question: why I'm here at all?
Animal print.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Saucy.
It's a real leopard skin scarf.
Is it?
Yep.
Small leopard.
Skinned it herself.
It got cooler today, so I put a scarf on.
So what is it? They're like 107?
Killing that leopard last week. That's why she went.
They don't call me Lady Wreck for nothing. I go out hunting all the time.
Hey, Amy, did you get the Titan UK trade yet?
I didn't, not yet, but I did get a message from Amazon that said it's been sent to me, so I shall be getting it soon.
I got mine today.
Oh, yeah, I used to
awesome.
Get that. What happened to that?
Cool.
Damn it.
And did you like it?
Oh, it's like an inch and a half thick.
On occasion.
I haven't had a chance to read it yet. So
their movie stuff was better than IDW's movie stuff.
Only the
because they like completely abandoned the movies.
The IGN, the IDW movie stuff is actually their best stuff. Like it's way better than their at least the last couple books have been way better than.
I can only imagine you're not saying much by that then.
yeah. But hey, wanted to actually mention on the show. We don't mention this enough, but feedback is the life's blood of any type of endeavor like this. So we do this podcast for you. So please send us an email, contact@tfradio.net. Leave us feedback on iTunes. We would love that, or any of our YouTube videos. Wherever there's an outlet to leave feedback, our Facebook page, our Google Plus page, Twitter, we would really appreciate it. People don't realize that we do this for you, not just so that we can hear ourselves speak. I do that sometimes, but not always.
Damn
but
it.
We really, 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 really want you to leave us feedback, so please do.
And if your feedback's good enough, we can read it on the air, and it will stand a chance of you being personally insulted by me or me conveying your insults to another member of the cast.
Uh-huh.
Yes. So yes.
I was gonna leave that alone.
Yes. Okay.
What do you say?
Yeah,
to
you're
that,
next, man, boy.
So with that being said, let's.
That, well, I don't know if I want
to
go for.
Jump to the news. So okay, so we received more images of Coronation Starscream. So a Japanese toy retailer eHobby updated the pre-order page of the Takara Tomy Transformer Masterpiece MP11 Coronation Starscream action figure. That's a long sentence with some new images. These give us a new look at the Starscream figure alone and dressed with his coronation gear. So check out tformers.com to view. It actually doesn't look bad.
I kind of like
more cape with my cape, please.
Yeah. Yes, more cape. It's very it reminds me of like Wing Zero Custom, like with the cape.
Yeah, I totally see that.
Yeah. The first time they did one of these Coronation Starscreams, was like, wow, that's so cool. It has this stuff that was like in the movie. That's cool. And then, like, four times later, it's like, again?
But is this the first official coronation toy that we've received? Haven't those all been third-party add-on kits?
Was it Armada?
Starscream.
Starscream came with a crown.
Or the crown.
There's been, like, bits of it. But, yeah, I think this is the first, like, G1 style to have. See, these are the things that XV would answer. Why don't...
Maybe in the chat. XV's trolling the chat.
Yeah, maybe he can, like, tell us.
Maybe the next one that comes out will, like, be, like, preloaded with thermite and a small detonator so you can, like, turn it to ashes before you're out.
That would be pretty sweet.
I would love that. That would be great.
Thing, but, like, come on, wouldn't you get that?
As long as you video it. Like,
this is bad comedy. Yes!
Not a bad idea. I would pay for that. For that one use.
There should be a play. What you really need is a play set.
Oh, damn it, I said it wrong. I'd have to get another one. There's a hint!
Okay, it comes with like a mold for like a very brittle, like, you know, stone or something, and then you can just smash it.
Yeah. But I like the colors on this. It's like the USA edition, but it's tweaked. It's definitely better than the original color scheme, which was to blend in with the sky and all that, which looked nice, I guess, but it just did not scream Starscream.
This does look better. This is cooler. It is nice. The joke is just about the, like, again? Really? We got to do this one again? You couldn't get it right the other 12 times?
That's what they do with these things.
Oh, and this mold has been updated a little bit, too, I think, in the... There's some tweaks to this mold, correct?
Yeah, they need to update the Megatron mold by, like, throwing it out and starting over.
Just do a new one.
Like,
there's some of these, though, that they update, and it's always such a tweak. Like, if they give them, like, real names that, like, really went with what the differences were, it'd be like, this is Whoops Starscream, and this is Maybe This Time Starscream, and just this one last thing Starscream, you know?
So,
Don't let it die, Starscream.
So,
you want to go to the Bahamas, Starscream.
So, the Transformers Collectors Club has revealed Shattered Glass Drift. The Bot of Banner will be available in the spring of 2012. Go to tformers.com to look. So
finally, Shattered Glass Smokescreen has someone to carry his golf clubs.
Yeah. The one flourish on this that I do like the sunburst radiating from the front tires. That is a neat touch. But
it is nice.
Otherwise,
I have to buy one of these because it's Deadpool.
It is. The color scheme, it's red Deadpool. And black with a sword, so it is Deadpool.
It's the Deadpool Transformer, which, like, would make Drift actually make sense in some ways.
It'd be much cooler. Actually, no, Deadpool is so oversaturated that he would be just as annoying as Drift.
If he popped up...
Well, that's exactly...
Looking just like Drift. They were just like, this is Deadpool. And he was like he was there all the time in an IDW comic. Would anyone even question that at this point, given the saturation?
Probably not.
But that's the thing,
why would Deadpool be here?
And that's but if you read like the character layout, that's exactly what he is. I mean, he is Deadpool. I mean, that if you, because they've got here, not only did they release that, they also released the bio information and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, reading down through here,
that is
like,
Deadpool to a T.
That is pretty much Deadpool,
except for the scarred face.
You wish that, like, he was the character Drift we had to endure in the comics all the time, standing in the background saying, "Hi, I'm Drift."
See, that's what they need to do, though, is they should bring through some of the Shattered Glass, like, at least this one, to, like, the primary Transformers universe. That would be fun. Bring this Drift from the Shattered Universe over and have him kill the Drift and take his place.
I would be fine with that.
Or have a rock fall on Drift.
Or something.
Anything would be more entertaining than Drift.
The main point here is, now this figure was one I was in on, now it's like, man, I kind of want this now.
Yeah, I know.
I can live without it.
I was sitting there making fun of it to somebody, and they were like, but it's Deadpool. I was like, oh, crap.
Damn it.
And thank you for kicking me in the wallet.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know,
I'm wrong.
If it wasn't for the fact that I'm, like, clearing house, I would consider this. I don't know if people watching the video can tell. But there's, like, less stuff back there. And next week, there's going to be no stuff back there. Because I'm packing up for a move. But I'm still tempted a little bit. Yeah.
So here's my question to you, Brian. Where are you moving to?
Don't know yet. Either south towards Charlotte, or right now I'm leaning toward Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
I just have to find a job there, so.
I, of course, live in Peru, if anyone wants to know.
You're going out west, maybe.
It's real wonder.
That would be awesome. Yeah. Problem with going out west, I would
have to... closer to me.
Yes. I'd have to figure... But the thing is, and I'm sorry for imposing this on you for so long, but the time would be so inconvenient for me. I don't know that I could do the same time.
Oh.
Yeah, we would have to move the show back, I think, or move to a different day or something, so...
Yeah. That'll be fine.
Yeah, if we do that. So, okay, yeah.
We'll figure it out.
Let's go ahead and jump to our last bit of news this week that I took time to write down. Game Informer continues their Transformers Fellow Cybertron coverage and insight that you've been waiting for. The Dinobots have finally arrived. Basically, there's a new Dinobots origin. So, the magazine spoke with Gaiman director Matt Tiger and cinematic director Dave Cravens, the Protecticons guy, if I remember correctly. From High Moon Studios about crafting a brand new origin story for these Dinobots. Why? The original origin was awesome, except you can't do it in this universe. The Dinobots.
Wait, which origin?
The Wheeljack origin.
Which one of the stupid origins?
The Wheeljack origin? Okay.
Zach, yeah. You know the one when with was it Gears or Huffer? Said, I thought you were going to make dinosaurs. It's like, you stupid.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to make dinosaurs.
The trick of having a good Dinobot origin is to draw as little attention to it as possible.
Yeah, that's true.
And move on. Because the real question is, you know, the real answer to the why is that happening question is like, because you really want it to. It's like, oh, yeah. Like, you want us to not have the Dinobots? Like, oh, well, no. Then shut up.
That's exactly.
The answer to your first question is shut up.
I really like this thought. These characters,
your big metal T-Rex.
These characters are powerhouses, and Mr. Tiger says that Grimlock would have been a tank, but he really wanted a space T-Rex. Go you. I love that.
Just be honest. We just want a space T-Rex. That's all we need to hear.
I suppose on Tiger to be like, because I really like money.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
I really like money. We were talking about it and different possibilities, and what really came up overall in our artistic vision was we would really like to be paid.
They're not going to make money either way, but I think to really sell it, they've got to be dinosaurs.
Yeah. Well, they're the Dinobots.
Yeah.
I mean, there is that.
So.
Why are there girls? Why are there dinosaurs? Why are there fingers? Because there has to be.
Why are there teeth?
Right? Enjoy the freaking cartoon.
You can kind of understand why they would have fingers, because it's just an efficient way of holding crap, you know.
Why not 20 fingers?
Exactly.
Why have two eyes? Why not have a little, like, observation pod on the top instead of a head? Why have mouths? Why are they girls? Why are they all boys? Are they really all boys? I don't see any genitals, nor do I want to. Seems to me that this is a dumb line of questioning.
Bravo. But yeah, so...
Whether there are girls in the GoBots. You ever notice that?
Are there not at all?
That's because they just, like, glazed over it. They're like, screw it.
Yeah, this is honestly the kind of problem I often have with taking too serious a look at superheroes. You are playing Jenga with the structure of your universe here. It's not a good idea.
Yeah.
Wow, I really like this. I bet if I thought about it hard enough, I could really screw it up. Welcome to the fandom.
Playing Jenga with your universe is going to be like a quote from my... You know,
yeah.
That's
so,
awesome.
Hey, John, now that you have an Xbox, did you pick up War Within for the Xbox by chance?
No, I had already played myself out of that game by the time I got an Xbox. But I played plenty of it on PS3. Why, are you offering to play me?
Yeah. Yeah, because we need to play something.
All have played it by
an invitation.
I checked up on you, Brian, and your War for Cybertron copy. You have 0 points on it.
Yeah, I have zero. That's absolutely true.
I went and looked you up.
Hey, Ender's right. I have hardly played it. I suck, but...
It's probably the single best piece of Transformers media that's come out in 5 to 10 years, and you haven't gotten a single point there.
Yeah, but I did get several points playing Rock Band 3 this weekend.
I still
that
need to get
is
that.
A weekend to envy.
Yes,
it is.
But I'm the jerk because I haven't seen whatever of the moon.
Yeah. Last one.
You're not missing out on anything, really. Seriously,
yeah, I know. Because I don't need to have another diarrhea pizza to tell you that I don't like them.
Yep. that pretty much says it all. So,
all right.
Moving on.
Enjoy that visual.
Yes.
So, there's comic news going on. Amy. Oh, wait, actually, sorry, yes. sorry. I've got
Hang on. You got a
cold open.
It's now time for comic news with Amy Morgan.
I didn't get a theme song.
Nope. No, you didn't.
It's in process right now, Ender. We'll get one for you, too.
I have like Instruments of Destruction or something.
Probably like at the end, it just says.
Awesome.
At the end, it just goes, and Ender.
And Ender. Awesome. Well, the UK trade is out. I just got my email from Amazon, so I should be getting it soon. Brian, you said that you got a copy.
Oh, yeah,
tell
right here.
Tell us about it. Yeah. Did you like it?
It's like 2 inches thick. I've been home like an hour and a half, so I have.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so.
So just cracked it out of the box. Woohoo!
It smells nice, though.
Oh, good.
Well,
that explains
a lot.
I love
the smell of new
things. Yeah, must be good.
I can't comment on it yet because, of course, I don't have it in hand. So hopefully soon. Anyhow,
apparently
also.
Part of IDW's new strategy to give you some glue to sniff before you read their comic.
That's good. I like that.
Awesome.
That's smart. They should have done
that. Work.
They should have done that with the A-Team comic that came out.
Well, it'd work out well because it would synchronize because it's clearly what they do before they write them.
Oh.
Ouch.
I don't know about that.
Well, hopefully in 2012 we'll be getting something maybe a little better that might suit your tastes, Ender.
All cynicism included, I concur.
Good. There's positivity here. Wow, awesome. So there was an IDW press conference last week that I had the privilege of going to, and so I wrote a big write-up about it on T-Formers. But the gist of it was that they were basically going to tell us what we're going to be getting with the two ongoings in 2012. So we've already been told that the two of them will be, one will be More Than Meets the Eye, the other one will be Robots in the Disguise. More Than Meets the Eye is going to be written by James Roberts and penciled by Nick Roach. And Robots in Disguise. Yeah, Robots in Disguise is going to be written by John Barber and drawn by Andrew Griffin. And they kind of, they went in and told, you don't know them yet.
That's just, that was just an
When
he gets a yay, that gets an
Okay.
It's completely undefined.
You don't know anything about it yet, right? You haven't read any of his stuff yet.
True, but you know, my default setting is not entirely pleasant, so.
Awesome. So, Group 1, which would be More Than Meets the Eye, is going to be led by Rodimus, who's planning to search for this Knights of Cybertron. So, we'll see how that goes. Their trek will leave them, take them off the planet of Cybertron, and they will be out doing their journey through space. We don't know anything else about it other than the fact that they won't be on Cybertron. They're going to be looking for the Knights of Cybertron. So, Group 2, I can't speak today. Will be the rest. It'll be led by Bumblebee, and they will be staying on Cybertron and dealing with the challenges of keeping everybody together and all of the new people that are going to be showing up and dealing with the Decepticons as well. So I don't know any. They weren't really. They didn't give us lots of details. They just said this is kind of what they're going to be dealing with, and. Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for it. I want to see what they're going to be writing. The art that we saw was great. All of this, of course, can be found at T-Formers because I put all of the posters and everything that all of the artwork, everything that we were shown is there. So, I don't know. Anybody else? Well, have any questions or anything?
Wait a minute. So, did we know that Optimus was dying? Is that what?
Well,
they talked about that one in a previous one.
Yeah, they're saying calling it like the death of Optimus Prime, but I'm not sure exactly what they mean by that. It seems too stupid to just do again, like they think they're doing something original.
Yeah.
Roberts, I would read what they wrote on the inside of a bathroom stall, but honestly, the whole thing that they've set up here with the two, like, okay, Bumblebee's going to lead one team and Hot Rod's going to lead another, Rodimus or whatever. I think we all recall how fantastically successful and intriguing it was when Rodimus led them. And Bumblebee, it's just like, Yeah, it sounds like a 2-week gimmick. It's been going on for 3 years now or something.
Yeah. Well,
it's like, can we move on? I mean, like, and the thing is, too, is like, I don't want to go like too Prime centric on it. Be like, no, you know, Optimus Prime has to be the leader or something. But to me, it's like, if you don't want him in the comic books for a while, I'm sure he's got some paperwork he needs to catch up on. I mean, this war's been going on for millions of years. I mean, he could sit at base for like weeks. Do nothing
Yeah, because I mean, Optimus Prime dying. I mean, even at this point. You know, and I've mentioned this before, like, even when we went and saw the second movie and Prime died, my wife's like, well, of course he died. He always dies. And
I'm like, exactly.
It's like a joke. You know,
so it's like, we're really going to do this again.
We've reached this point where, like, people talking about, like, X-Men comics will joke about how, like, man, how many times is Magneto going to die? What, is he Optimus Prime? You know, like, when you reach that inverted proportion, like, you really did something wrong. Like, that's bad.
Yeah.
And it is just like, it's just a joke. And they, you know, remember the Ironhide thing? Like, he's dead! He's dead! We're going to keep him dead! Oh, by the way, he's going to have his own series next month. What? Is it his resurrection? Well, maybe it's something else. No, that's his resurrection.
It was both. It was his resurrection and something else. Woohoo!
Yeah, well, it was mostly, it's like, he's just alive again.
Yeah.
He just popped back to life as soon as we killed him. Which is sort of like, yeah, that's kind of what we're saying. You can't kill these people. Even if you meant to, you couldn't. New writers would show up next week and bring them back to life. Don't bother. Leave it alone. If you don't want him there, give him something else to do. Even when they were like, Prime's going to surrender. Then we had to like sit in his cell with him.
Yeah, can't he go on a, like a sabbatical or something? Or on a soul-seeking journey somewhere?
They have like a side miniseries that was like, Optimus Prime goes golfing. You know?
Well, I mean, not even that. Like, I mean, you can have a character. You could have Prime like go look for something and be gone for 12 issues, you know, and not even have to kill him to do that.
That's true.
Of course, like, you know, Patton personally fought in every single skirmish in every battle in every campaign. He never like stood at a table and was like, "Hey, you guys, go kill those guys." That never.
Yeah, well, that's really entertaining too. You know, people really want to read about that. So,
but it's like, and we could, those guys could go and go kill them. We could have comic books about that. And he could sit at the table and not smoke a cigar because he's a robot. And we wouldn't have to, you know.
Right.
Lots of things we don't see in shows. Ever see Captain Kirk go to the bathroom? You're not gonna. You know, we don't have to be there for every minute of the leader's day.
We should.
But I mean, I'm willing to give both these comics a shot, though. I mean, I'll probably. Yeah.
Maybe.
I'm all for the change, especially because of the one pairing, especially is encouraging. But
yep.
Like I said, like Bumblebee lead a team. It's like, oh great, you know.
Anything else, Amy?
Yes, there were the day after that we had the January solicits come out, so they're pretty much echoed everything that we found out in the press conference. Other than they also tacked on there that January we will also be getting our hardcover of Last Stand of the Wreckers. So if you haven't gotten your pre-orders in, do it now.
Cool.
It's coming.
I find it amusing we had to have this press conference to do something that, as you just noted, they usually just do by like every month anyway.
Solicits, yeah.
But, solicits.
But it was a great opportunity to ask questions because we did. Oh, we asked a lot of questions. So
For me, it just seems like IDW is doing that essentially. Be like, no, no, really, we're going to do some new stuff this next year, and it's not going to suck. We swear. It's news. It's not just the thing we put out every month.
Yeah.
Yep. Hey, John, what's going on in the chat this week?
You know, what we're talking about right now actually is best worst club exclusive toys. So just, you know, because of Drift, just talking about which ones are good, which ones are good, which ones are bad. Of course, Sideburn was the latest one. He's nice. I think he's really popular.
Yeah,
I think everybody seems to like him. Not bad, not too shabby. Astro Train is a weird one.
Man, I wanted that so bad, but I never got it.
Do you want him now?
No.
Then they made a Classics one that was better.
Yeah.
Was it?
He kind of got roughed up.
But Classics Astro Train's not great.
That's so not as cool as that.
I would not say that the Classics is better. I would just say it's more like Astro Train.
Yeah, that Armada Jetfire mold is fantastic.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with it.
And the head sculpt was good. The paint job was good. It was just like, the Classic was more like Astro Train because he had a train mode.
Yeah.
Right.
Whereas,
Astro-lame.
as where the other one that was just Astro.
That's true.
Yeah. And also like a billion paint apps.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah. He wasn't shy about the paint details that Astro trained. Yeah. So and then also Air Razor is another one that's kind of on the we wouldn't call her popular since it took like 6 years to sell her.
I'm trying to think which mold was she based on?
In an ad of her.
The double header or the
Energon Slugslinger.
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 Yeah.
So it was not only was it an absolutely terrible mold, it was a subpar head mold on a horrible color scheme. So it was just bad. All the way around. I mean, brown and yellow worked on a bird, but when it's on a robot that's a jet, it just kind of looks like horrible.
Pair of those were things that, like, you'd look at, like, if they were in a store, and be like, maybe. Yeah. It was like, you have to order them online for 10 times the price. Like,
right.
Yeah.
And not only that mold is terrible. I mean, that is a horrible, horrible mold. Yeah. And just not a bad idea to remold, to use that particular mold. There were better molds out at the time that would have worked.
That one was like, why did you make that once?
Yeah, exactly. Bad enough that Hasbro made that mold. It was worse that they tried to like repaint it and resell it as Air Razor.
Yeah.
Just two
in
more
case
at last.
It didn't suck enough the first time.
Yeah, they're going to try it again.
What else, John? What,
put a dress on a turd. Cannot do it. Okay, so Cheetor and Ramjet, also from like the last year, calendar year. Not bad.
I love that Cheetor.
Yeah, I mean, I think it worked. I mean, obviously that mold was made to evoke.
They did a Ramjet?
But yeah, they did. Yeah.
Oh, I think Brian has it. Is that it? Yeah, I've got Ramjet somewhere.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
John.
What about Cheetor?
I didn't pick up Cheetor, though he was available forever.
Yeah,
there were a lot of cool, unique G2 toys, but most of the ones that had already been out was just like, and now the toy you love, painted completely retarded,
just like, for the sake of retarded.
And now the classic version of the toy you loved, painted equally retarded.
Wait, are you talking about Ramjet?
Nice pairing with Thundercracker.
I love that.
Brian likes Gaudi.
I do too.
Yeah,
I am sorely tempted by that Thunder Megatron coming out in United, even though I really don't.
Oh like yeah, I love that.
Is that the blue one? Is that crazy
colorblind by chance?
Purple one? No, the purple and teal and yellow one, I believe it is. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wish that mold didn't suck.
Teal in conjunction with want in a transformer. I'm just not.
So yeah,
matter
I mean,
of fact, now that I think about it, it's almost exactly the same color scheme as G2 Ramjet. So there you go.
Well, see, they make a dynamic duo. anyway, that's the main topic of discussion. We're just kind of kicking around club exclusives.
Cool.
In the
cool.
chat.
I love that Cheetor. I wish they'd do more stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great idea. Just too bad nobody wanted it. I mean, it sold out eventually.
Did that one not sell?
Was it Thundercracker or was it Ram?
Ramjet was the other club.
Yeah, so Ram. Yeah, okay, so it was Ramjet came out, and Ramjet sold out like within the first day. Cheetor was for sale up through BotCon. I mean, you could get
Get him at BotCon.
Yeah, so
yeah. They had cases of him at BotCon,
but it sold out because it's a nice mold, and the mold, of course, was an homage to that character, mm-hmm. so it was perfect.
Yeah, it's a really good toy. It's just it wasn't a classics mold, so it didn't fly off the shelves.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go ahead and jump to the TF Wiki Spotlight with Chris McFeely. We will be back in just a few minutes.
Hear the TF Wiki Spotlight each week with Chris McFeely on Radio Free Cybertron.
And it is time once again for the TF Wiki Spotlight, brought to us by the amazing Chris McFeely. What do you have for us, sir?
Hey, this week we are going to come over to my side of the water and take a moment to talk about the Transformers Titan magazine. I've picked this for a couple of reasons, but well, one was that I heard somebody talking about the UK's Armada comic and calling it rare stuff, and it just struck me as odd because really rare? I have all that in a box, you know. I forget about how you poor colonials don't get exposed to the English language material we get produced over here a lot. So I thought I'd take a moment to look at the current series. Now, you guys did get a few issues of this republished through IDW, but it's gone through a lot of changes in its life. It started with the original live-action movie, and it has run continuously since then. It briefly rebounded itself as Transformers Universe. It started out, it did its own original material lead strips with the IDW prequels and Beast Wars strips reprinted as backups. And then it dropped those. It started printing some animated strips, original UK animated strips. It rebooted itself for Revenge of the Fallen and started another new prequel story, abandoned any pretense of trying to tie in with continuity. Well, its own prequel strips really found that they couldn't tie in very well with IDW, and after about 8 issues of those, they just threw its hands up and went, alternate universe. And for about the last 17, 18 issues of the first volume of the comic, it was all set in an entirely alternate universe in which Megatron won the Battle of Mission City. And it followed on from there. Then it went back to mainstream whenever they rebooted for Revenge of the Fallen, then it rebooted for Dark of the Moon. And the reason I've chosen it this week specifically is because it rather surprisingly has just rebooted and become about Prime. It only lasted for 4 issues as Dark of the Moon, but the UK is now in the process of producing original Prime comic strips, which, even America isn't getting right now. So this article, the main article, will give you an overview of the history of the comic, because it's very much unlike an American comic book. Children's magazines in the UK are very different. You'll find a lot of features, letters, pages, puzzles, fact files, all sorts of supplementary material is included in a children's magazine in the UK. It's funny how they started out with very high ideals when they made this comic. Guido Guidi, Don Figueroa, Andy Wildman, Jeff Sr., Stas Johnson, these guys were all doing art at the very start. And it's just slowly, progressively, over the last 4 years, they've proven depressingly unable to keep a hold of those ideals, and it has degenerated to the point where it is bog standard UK kiddie comic fare that is But the early stuff, is particularly the parallel universe stuff, was all written by Simon Furman, and very much your time to read. Furman's not writing so much of it right now, but he wrote the very early stuff, and it's well worth your time. So this page will give you an overview of the whole history, all the different art styles and approaches it takes, what it reprinted, how animated factored in, the way the continuity worked, the things it did which nobody else did, because after Revenge of the Fallen, it basically incorporated all of the Golden Box, Revenge of the Hunt for the Decepticons toys into the continuity as well, which IDW didn't do very much of, and all of the strange features as well, because it returned to the original UK approach of having a Transformer answer the letters pages as well. So you've had Starscream answering your letters for most of its run and generally being very amusing. Guides to your free gifts and just a general study of how the comic worked. And I've chosen it because contemporary with Prime, and it just really occurs to me that a lot of American readers won't really know anything about this. And you'll find a complete list of links to articles for every single issue, so you can get yourself the proper rundown on what the UK has been doing with the film. And that's about the size of it. So, yeah, the UK's Transformers comic from Titan Magazines is this week's TF Wiki Spotlight.
Radio Free Cybertron will return after these messages.
They appear to be mighty robots, but you change them into mighty vehicles. GoBots and Super GoBots, each sold separately.
GoBots, 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 mighty robots, mighty vehicles, GoBots.
GoBots and Super GoBots, Destroyer, Psy-Kill, and Leader One, each sold separately from Tonka.
So this is Crave Corner. Brian Kilby here, and with me, We have Cole Sickler with a fantastic beard. I love that.
I know. Isn't it nice? Hi, guys. How's it going?
It's been a while since we've done this.
We've both been
like crazy busy, but it's really good having you back on. And I hear there are a lot of neat things going on with Crave, but I'll say this because it's my podcast. I'm moving, so I'm going to be posting lots of stuff, and I am going to talk about it so that people will buy my stuff so that I don't have it anymore.
As much as you want.
So there you go. But yeah,
sounds excellent.
So what's going on at Crave?
We got a lot going on. We got buyers and got a little excited there. We still got the new buyer promotion going on. So anyone who hasn't made their first Crave purchase can still get $5 back from us for grabbing their first figure. And then the seller contest is really close. We're releasing an official update via our email later today. But the spread, we got 7 sellers between 5 to 15 sales. So first place is, I've lost the numbers. They're here somewhere.
Numbers are important.
I did lose them. Where'd they go? Oh, this is terrible.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, there it is. Okay. So in first place with 15 is seller Chiptris Prime. And then right behind him with 10 is Glenn Mulinix. And we got another 10 in here. Tokyo Toys Tampa. And then there's a ton of people. Nate Millis has 6. Keith Sazniak has 5. Just tons of guys like real close behind. This is one of the closer contests we've had. I'm really excited to see what happens in the next 6 days.
Sweet.
So it should be fun. And then there are also a couple cool listings. One listing that I thought was super cool was a custom that someone posted.
Really?
Yeah.
So there's flexibility to do stuff like that?
Yeah, we have a custom listing section where people can post like their own repaints or custom figures. This one seller, Jeremy Hartwick, took a Generations Blur and he did a paint scheme to make it look like Zero from Mega Man X.
Oh, that's cool.
And it came out really cool. So yeah, I definitely recommend checking that out. And then there's also a vintage packaged opened complete Shockwave for $130 right now. It's got 7 good price votes.
That's not bad. It's a toy that I want that I've never owned. So I would pay that for that, definitely.
Yeah, and they tend to, we don't see them a lot, and they tend to circulate on through Crave pretty fast. Like, it'll show up, and then within a couple weeks, it'll be gone.
But that toy is also easily broken, so a lot of ones out there are broken or missing pieces.
Yeah, I find fans are really after the ones that don't have cracked hoses.
You can see why. Actually, one thing I really would like to have, and I don't know that you could actually sell it on Crave because technically it's a knockoff, but it's Shockwave, which was the Radio Shack version of Shockwave that was sold in the 80s.
I was really hoping it was going to be related to Shaquille O'Neal.
No. Long before Shaquille O'Neal was on the scene, but that would be really cool. So in the pre-show chat, we were talking about the update to the comments, and that sounded really cool. What's going on with that?
So we've updated comments. We've switched to sort of a different format, and so it still works the same in that if someone comments on your listings, you'll get an email, you can go and reply and whatnot. But the homepage now, instead of having a collection of all the most recent comments on the site, is now its own wall where people can have more general discussions. And then now to the right under the top fan picks, there's a recent discussion section which shows the 6 listings, recent comment activity. So you can just jump to a discussion if you want to as well.
Cool. I like that.
Yeah. We're getting a pretty good fan response from it so far. So it's good.
Yeah, I'm trying to get my 5 points every day by visiting, so I want to be like a super duper fan at some point. Right now I'm still like at level 1 or 2, but eventually I will be like a top tier fan.
Also, if you're going to be listing a lot of stuff, that'll boost your points too.
Yes, I'll be boosting. Okay. I'll be posting a lot of stuff. A lot. So, yeah. Awesome. Okay, anything else, Cole? Anything else going on?
That's pretty much all that's happening with us.
Sweet.
All right.
Awesome. Cool. Well, we will hopefully, got my fingers crossed, talk to you next week. That would be great.
Sounds good.
Awesome. Cool. See ya.
We now return to Radio Free Cybertron.
So we are back. Yes. Seriously.
What?
Actually, we're talking about selling my Sega Saturn during the break.
As he rolled into that S, I was thinking, spleen?
I kind of got caught up there.
How will that help you move?
Selling my spleen? Well, I don't need it. I mean, you know, I can just let the blood flow through there. It doesn't have to collect. I remember in school we were playing touch football, and one of the kids, well, it was tackled.
There's a sentence that
he got tackled. He started feeling really bad. Apparently, we punctured his spleen.
Oh, man.
It broke a rib, punctured his spleen, and apparently somehow the spleen was rib was acting as a cork. Otherwise, he would have bled to death right then and there. It was pretty awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So.
Wow. Yeah,
that sounds horrendous.
Yeah, yes. Pretty horrendous. But
the moral is Brian hits like a truck.
I do. I absolutely do. So
when he's got those caffeine things in.
Cut back on caffeine.
He
so
sounds
much.
Like one. He's like,
he has Warcraft 2 for Sega Saturn. Sorry to interrupt.
What?
That's just crazy to me.
We have the PS2 version around here somewhere, or PS1, excuse me.
Wow.
Somewhere.
That's awesome.
So yeah, okay. I'm totally going to start pimping out my stuff.
You need to get a new Soundwave.
It worked for me, sort of.
I'm selling a lot more than you did. So.
Well, yeah, I know. I still have that. I still have the RC on there. It still has not sold.
Oh man, I thought somebody was going to pick that up by now.
You should buy it, Rob. A BotCon RC.
Man, it's a great. I like that too.
Needs my spleen first because I'm really a little bit strapped for cash at the moment. So.
Oh well.
That's
have
a.
Have you tried to sell it on eSpleen?
Okay,
I don't need one ever again since I got my eye spleen.
Yeah, eye spleen. Actually, I guess it's time for this.
JD has an eye cat there.
This week in history.
Hey, JD, what's going on this week in history?
So, 1985 saw the amazing episode Transformers, a Decepticon Raider in King Arthur's Court. If you don't know the plot, just think Connecticut Yankee and King Arthur's Court, but with Transformers. And
oh, thank you.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Just think of a.
Did you know his name was really Samuel Clemens?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Did you know that he actually encountered the crew of the Enterprise D, circa what 1880 something, 1889 somewhere around there?
Yeah, I think we decided that basically for every universe, there's an alternate universe King Arthur's Court, and so that's how all of those people can go visit there, and they don't cross over.
It has to be. Mm. It's the mini world.
It's hysterical when you think about it, because technically there isn't one in our universe.
But. Yeah, that's very true.
Universe is the only one without one. That's why we can't travel through time.
That's a great point.
Welcome to Boring World, ladies and gentlemen.
The old adage of all of the possible universes, we live in the best one. That's actually not true. This is the worst one. This is the most boring. That's why we have stories.
This is the one where fiction didn't happen.
This is the place. We have to have fiction because this universe doesn't have any interesting stories of its own.
That's why we have fiction, because nothing's going on here.
Right.
If there were superheroes throwing buildings outside, we would be perfectly entertained.
It would be awesome.
We wouldn't even need stories. We'd just be like, that's awesome. Look at that. But
you're like, hey, dude, you read this book? What are you, retarded? There are giant robots over there.
Pretty sweet. Okay, so... actually, you know, this
if
week...
Shakespeare had stabbed people, then that would have been really, you know...
So this week we're actually trying to sort of figure out... because it's Halloween, and Rob Springer's really been cornering the market on the Halloween thing. I really wanted to talk about some of the scary, spooky things that have gone on in the Transformers universe. And number one always comes to mind is the Transformers episode Dark Awakening, because it's just morbid. It's awesome. It's creepy. It's like a story from Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. It's like a legitimately scary story. So I want to talk a little bit about that.
No redeeming factors.
I love that episode. But
it's a great episode. I'm just saying, like, within the story, there's like no redemption or positive note for anyone, really.
Yeah.
No one wins. There's no. It's just even, you know, the Prime, especially if you consider the Prime Zombie is technically just a zombie,
yeah,
and not really Prime. Then it's extra, like, Wow, just so like everybody sucks here, huh?
But there are a lot of other things as well that are kind of creepy and scary. Like Rob Springer last week was talking about Master Force and the zombie army. And one of my favorite scary things that ever happened to Transformers was Kiss Players. So Kiss Players are also one of
the... terrifying.
Yeah, the scarier things that...
You know, but that's not creepy in a Halloween, like, innocent fun.
Yes, it is. So, actually, so...
It's like, you know... That
wait, we're on the joke ender. Thank you very much. So,
it's terrifying.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
Just the other morning, like I woke up, like Kiss Players. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh, thankfully, it's over. Okay.
So, but yeah, so lots of scary crap in the Transformers world. But I mean, I guess if anything really freaked me out as a kid, it was Dark Awakening. Anyone else have like an unsettled feeling?
Transmutate.
I think the only thing that was
I like Transmutate. It's creepy, not
but
really
scary. The tone of the episode.
That's scary.
Like, there's no other episode, I think, in like almost any part of Transformers fiction that's like that, where it's just like you. It's compelling, but you really are just like dragged through it. It's not like there's no action, fun element that's making you.
I don't know.
You're like fall. It's like falling into something. You're like, oh my god, this is going so bad.
I don't know. Autobot Spike is kind of creepy. I mean, yeah, that's kind of that episode is. I mean, in terms
it's
of
an homage to Frankenstein.
If you have this Transformer Frankenstein and you're stuck in it, it's kind of
going back to.
I've been so much caught up in what actually happens in the episode as the way it was portrayed.
Megatron plays. Okay, so you can say it's Frankenstein, or you can also say that it's kind of like that Autobot. Autobot X is basically Jesus, and Megatron is Satan, and he tries to tempt him.
Mm.
The Garden of Eden, or not, or whatever. I don't know, or you know, not the Garden of Eden, but
well, even like the whole thing of Rampage in that episode going, you know.
But yeah, Transmutate it got creepier because if you look at it,
Dracula-like, really.
Later on, Hasbro actually gave you hunks of Transmutate that you had to buy and put together to make Transmutate
piece together. Yeah.
Somebody should have thought a little harder about this a-thon. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just thought that one. I don't know. It's about that. Even that there's sort of this delineation in the end, even when he says, you know, friend good, friend dark. They're even like, it's like that the whole episode is like muted, the standard Transformers, like, these are the good guys and these are the bad guys. Good guys are good. Bad guys are evil. He doesn't call him evil. He hasn't delineated that. It's like he's brought the whole level up to something more median where it's just like, you're this kind of jerk. You're that kind of jerk. And there's something very, very dark and adult about that that isn't in most episodes.
I really loved that episode. It's one of my favorite Beast Wars episodes. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying.
But I guess, you know.
Why would you show that to children? Maybe that's worse. It was like the Invader Zim episode.
Well, I guess I sort of going back to G1 Season 3 and Dark Awakening, the one thing that I really like about it shows the mausoleum. But there's all sorts of, like, references to death and dead characters all the way through season 3. Talking about they all reference the Autobots who died at the Battle of Autobot City, but also the like Decepticon Hall. What is it called? Where the Decepticons have all the shrines.
Oh yeah, they've like it's a hall.
Yeah, they have something too. What episode is that in?
That's in Starscream's.
Starscream's Ghost.
Ghost. Yes, that's right.
Actually, no, it's actually the second one. It's not. Is it Starscream's Ghost or is it
I think it's Starscream's Ghost.
Because there's Starscream's Ghost. Yeah, you're right, because that's the one we mess around with Octane, and then there's the one where he does the three labors later on.
Right.
But if you look, actually, that little hall of dead people, which is inexplicably now underground, looks like the hall of statues where Starscream was being coronated.
Yes.
The movies.
Yes.
It's the same setup and the same... You know, the statues with the little... You gotta wonder what's in those little energy things at the bottom. It seems a little creepy.
Never really thought about it, but I am curious. But Season 3 is also, you know, sort of rife with, you know, just, like, scary imagery. Look at the Quintessons. The Quintessons are creepy as hell.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, this was all set up in the movie, but one of their faces, of course, is the death face.
Right.
I mean, season 3 is much, 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 much darker than anything that we got in seasons 1 and 2.
It's the emotional, like, as a kid, I mean, I think most of us were around the prime age this was aimed at. You know, when the death of a lot of those Transformers in the movie that Hasbro hadn't calculated was very open woundish.
Oh, yeah.
During the third season. And to, like, go and see their graves and then have the graves blown up and then, like, you know, Prime's body paraded around where the Quintessons was very much like, okay, and now, even though you were really upset about us killing Prime and these other guys, we're going to rub your nose in it. Really hardcore.
I mean, there was some...
There
was some inadvertent creepiness in, like, season two, City of Steel, where Optimus was, like, dismembered and placed all across that futuristic city that the Decepticons had constructed. Was a little, I mean, obvious, and Megatron keeping Optimus's head on his desk or wherever it was.
Well, this is not being a show, but it always reminded me of this. I remember being extremely creeped out by the Optimus Prime head removal in the comics.
Yeah.
It was like, and here's your hero's head, and it's going to be there for six issues. And it was just like,
Well, I guess even Rebirth was a little freaky like that, where they at the end is like, remove your heads. I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah. that was like the Rocky Horror Picture Show version, though, because you're like, that was like, you know, dark humor. Okay, pull your heads off, guys. Okay. Well, then,
and they complied. It's like, sure. Yeah.
Like, they do it all the time.
It's flying everywhere. I remember, dude, the tone of Dark Awakening, too. You know, the damage you see done to Transformers is usually very, you know, little smoking area on the chest if they get shot and they fall over, and then they walk away. But that had a couple of moments. For one, there was, you know, Prime loses his arm,
yeah.
And then, you know, he's getting blown up. But I remember even more, because this looked so painful. And you think of what they would take to do to, like, the comparable structure on yourself. Prime pulls Hot Rod's shoulders apart until his chest starts split in the middle. And it's like fusing and spewing out energy. And it's just like, okay, that might be a little far, guys. I'm like really surprised that got on TV like that. Like, that looked really painful. Like, I don't know. That really, I remember there's one thing about that episode that really was like, this is a scary episode.
And a lot of the reasons it's scary is because we developed like an emotional attachment to everything, and we really, you know, drank the Kool-Aid, so we were absorbed by it. What about you guys? Anything that you were like just unsettled by, like G1, anything comic wise that sort of that just like just maybe a little too much, a little too far that they might have gone?
Rob. Well, it's not G1 specifically, not American G1, but one of the things that has always creeped me the hell out since I saw it was Zone, where Predaking gets cut in half, and there's an organic brain in there.
Brain and everything?
Yeah, that is just really freaky.
I remember I first watched that in like my early 20s. I'm like, oh my god, that's awesome! I like the way that people like Gundam Wing was like, oh my god, that's awesome!
It'd be awesome. Yeah. Start headbanging.
Yeah.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, I missed that, and I think I'm glad I did.
You've never seen Zone?
Well, I've never seen that moment.
Oh, dude, how can you not see that moment? That moment's awesome. Basically, what I love about Zone, and totally off topic, are the capes. I love the capes.
Yes, capes are awesome. Everybody wear a cape. That cape's got to be as big as, like, Texas.
Yeah, I know. They must have gone to a circus or something and been, like, taking the tents. Like, hey, this look good on me. Oh, yeah, go for that. Yeah, good look for you.
But the robotic brain is pretty creepy. Torquilon freaked me out.
Yeah. Yeah, he was kind of freaky. I can see that.
His voice was very icky.
Yeah.
There was something wrong.
Like, uncomfortable.
I don't have to do this or not. Like, oh, God. Like, it's like, you know,
Torquilon.
You know,
oh, John clever.
Five's child molester uncle voice. I don't know.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
I was thinking, well, Dark Awakening had a big element of, like, you know, your zombified dad. And it really connected you to Rodimus a lot, because he was really, I feel like for once, like, he was really going through what the audience was. And it was hard not to root for Prime.
That's a great point.
Prime's
because
the bad guy here, but you're like sitting there going like, but
he's your freaking dad. You're right. That's the character that they really developed. He's the dad that you wish you had.
That's my hardcore thing about why they didn't understand what they had with G1, because standard story elements, and this is like, you know, they write this in stone, and like, you know, when you go to school for writing, they tell you this is like the main character is kind of supposed to be you, and that's what makes stories go. But in this case, they really hit upon something that almost never happens, where they made a sympathetic element that was not you. You didn't want to be Prime. You wanted Prime to be your dad. That's why all the other, like, secondary identification characters weren't really that important. But when they got rid of that one, that seemed like a nothing character in some ways, but he was just, like, the main character and they didn't understand why, it was like they killed your dad on the screen.
They killed your dad and replaced him with you.
My dad can beat up your dad. Like, we have a space for that in our heads. And Prime tapped into it. And that's why I think they have trouble finding interesting ways to use Prime. They're like, well, he's got to be dumb and infallible and all this stuff, and that's useless for stories. But it's like, no. He just has to be your dad. Your dad can be wrong. It just, you have to have that attachment to him where, like, he's going to come through for you. You don't want to, you know, Prime went to go save the other Autobots. That wasn't like, I'm going to go save the other Autobots. That was like, my dad would come to save me. And it hit something emotional for people, but it was really hard to define at the time. And I think, you know, Dark Awakening, of all things, was like, and now the exact wrong thing to do in this situation for everyone's emotions.
You know,
and they're having trouble doing it. If you look, and this happens too, when they do fully bring Prime back, Rodimus does not win in Dark Awakening. Prime beats him.
Yeah.
Zombie Prime beats him several times, and then Armless voluntarily gives him the Matrix back, saves him, and blows up the Crinisons trap at the cost of his own life. It's like, wow, Zombie Prime did that. Like, you really suck, Rodimus. Wow.
Yeah.
That's something that maybe I think might be why season 3 suffers in hindsight, which is that the theme of trying to live up to your dad, I mean, after he's gone, that's pretty damn heavy for a kid's show.
Yeah.
It was awful. I was just a joke. It was like, there is, you know, the only bigger fan of Optimus Prime than me is Rodimus Prime.
Yeah, that's true.
We spent, like, how many times did they, like, have an episode that was all about, like, wow, I suck. You were so much cooler than me. And they didn't really resolve that. They'd have him go through some lesson about it, but it was still like, yeah, he's still not
out. Yeah, and Rebirth came and ruined it all.
So one of the first lines in Five Faces of Darkness, I always think is like this big evidence of the writers hating the change, was the Decepticons are in that hole, right? And one of them brings up that, like, we need a leader, you know? Somebody goes, yeah, and it's like Motor Master, like the Autobots. They used to have a great leader. And it was like, that is not a good introduction.
Yeah.
Somebody slipped that one through. like, oh, man.
Yep. True. Okay, any other Halloween sort of spooky, scary, crazy things that sort of...
Well, yeah, there's a proper Halloween episode in Animated.
Yeah.
Halloween episode.
I mean, it's, you know, not scary, scary, but scarier, it was but what it was.
I was going to... Yeah, my question was, like, is there any Halloween episodes? I can't remember if there are any of the Energon or... Cybertron era.
I really doubt it.
I try not to watch those.
So. I'm like envisioning in the back of my head, like, you know, like Sharkbite with like a witch's mask on. There's that awful G1 episode, season 3 again, of when they have like Daniel's nightmares. That one's pretty bad.
Surprise Party?
I don't remember the title of it. I don't think it was Surprise Party. I just remember that it was like, just envision a giant Rodimus to fight the giant Galvatron in your bad dreams. And it was like the Quintessons making Daniel have bad dreams. It's like, wow, what a plan. Gee, I wonder how you lost that. Can't imagine how that went bad.
Yeah.
This is a big plan. There is one, like, you know, small pet on Cybertron. We can mess with his brain.
So, yeah, I just... I just Googled Surprise Party to pull up the actual reference, and I didn't qualify it by saying Transformers. Yeah, don't click on the first link that you find when you type in Surprise Party into Google.
I was watching Transformers Prime with my daughter the other day, and she had a little laugh about the in the Scraplets episode when Raphael's like, hey, the Autobots didn't say anything about pets. And I was like, I hate to break it to you.
Yeah.
You were their pet.
I'd just like to say, searching for the pretty
your name
brains.
On the floor over there.
What, John?
I'd just like to say, searching for the Predaking Brains clip took me to a Fortune City Transformers site.
Awesome. Was it Prime Saber's page?
I think possibly. I don't know. It was just like a line list of how Transformers have died.
I think if you put in Predaking's brain, then you probably deserve everything.
I deserve Fortune City, apparently. I deserve,
I think
going back
a photo
in time
of it on Predaking's page on the wiki, but I can't guarantee it.
Terrific. I actually found it on YouTube. I posted it in the chat. So.
Awesome.
Happy Halloween, everyone.
Speaking of Halloween, let's go ahead and jump to Twitter Theater, and we'll be back after this.
This is Twitter Theater.
Hey, guys. Twitter Theater time. So last week at the Halloween celebration, because, Halloween's winding down. And to polish off or finish off, kind of sounded gross, the Halloween celebration, of course, is Twitter. Of course, it's Twitter. Well, you know where it came from. It's Thriller. I posted this Thriller video last summer. But what's Halloween without Thriller? And this is a good Thriller. It's a fun fan video made CGI with the Autobots performing Thriller. And it's really fun. It's really good. We're kind of cooler than other people because we did this for Twitter Theater about a good month before it caught on and was on the front page of our website. Yeah. Good job. And I think it's a perfect way to cap off the Halloween hootenanny. I mean, it's well done. I mean, you got the ghost seekers that rise up. And everyone's perfectly synced and dancing pretty well. I mean, it's really well done. It's really impressive. Even Drift is used well. It seems like the only people who can use Drift well are not his creators. Weird. I don't know. And, I kind of made a point of saying I posted this video before, and I did, and it works out because, next week, Twitter Theater will be after Halloween's over. I love Halloween. And it'll begin our Thanksgiving celebration, which, being probably the only thing online to give a crap about Thanksgiving, it's going to be the best of Twitter Theater all November, or at least up till Thanksgiving. So it kind of segues nice into it. That's one of our better Twitter Theaters in the past, and it segues into that. Now, Halloween's coming up. And, I'm putting it to you people that if you go out trick-or-treating, wear something decent. Cover your butt. I don't want to see XC walking out there in a sexy nurse costume. You hear me? So, make sure you carve your jack-o'-lanterns. Make sure you have good candy. Don't give kids the crap candy. Give them good candy. I don't know where I'm going with this. I just woke up. I'm tired. Because this is Thriller. It's kind of funny that they used a Hot Rod or Rodimus to be Michael Jackson in the Thriller video. They could have used, I guess that's the closest they come. He's already got the popped collar. And, he's got the sort of, he's got the pop collar. So I guess it doesn't hurt using them for Michael Jackson. But who else would they have used, I guess Redgar could have worked. I'm still kind of surprised to see Drift sitting there with them all. I guess he's more popular than I assumed or imagined. And that's okay. Nothing's really wrong with Drift, just he's written pretty badly. Like I said, people that aren't his creator seem to handle him pretty well, so maybe that's a sign that someone else gets a hold of him and he might be pretty good. Maybe. Because this is Thriller. It's a good thing Drift wasn't Michael Jackson in the Thriller video. Because Drift is more of that guy, you know, that smells like old towels and adds son and chan to the end of every word and doesn't understand that he's being racist. You know, one of the weird parts of the video is at the beginning, you know, Optimus is taking a crap and they play like the funk of 40,000 years and the Autobots are like... As a fan of fart jokes, it's kind of hard not to like that. However, it's kind of odd. You know, I could see Hal taking a giant dump, but not Optimus. Optimus would take little efficient poops and be done with it and probably cry about it later. Because it's Thriller. Thriller light. Thriller night. I'm really tired. I messed up Thriller twice. That's a first. I really do like those Ghost Seekers. I've always been a fan of the Ghost Seeker toy. I mean, like Starscream ghosts, figures of Starscream as a ghost. I always liked that. I don't know why. I'd like Ghost Sweeps better, though. That'd be rad. They got those big wings. Wings. Yeah. Because it's Thriller. Thriller night. Well, happy Halloween, everyone. And, I'm going to let this go because I'm rambling again incoherently. There's toys back there. Well, this is Rob. Check out the video at Twitter, video.net or tfradio.net/video. Yeah. Bye.
Oh, Rob. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Okay, so that's it for Radio Free Cybertron for this week. Anything else, guys, before we wrap up?
I like pie.
Me too.
Pancakes. Pancakes for dinner.
Fantastic. Okay.
Nothing that you wouldn't have to bleep.
Failed to mention earlier, Amy had to leave, so thank you to Amy for being on this week. Thank you to Ender for being back. John Malone,
if you noticed she was gone before he mentioned it.
Peter Pan. Just... Rob Clay.
You were wondering what was different. There you go.
Yeah. So, okay.
I will be personally holding it against you.
Oh. That's it for EFRE Cybertron this week. We will be back next week. If you're watching live, stay tuned for New Soundwave. Bye.
Same.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.